I want you to open your Bibles tonight, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 for the message tonight. And I'll begin reading in verse 1. Luke tells us, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I want to speak to you from that last little phrase that the Lord, that last little question that the Lord asked at the end of this parable. And I'm going to title my message tonight, Will He Find Faith? Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for the beautiful music we have heard tonight. Lord, thank you for the wonderful testimonies of souls being saved. Thank you for the baptism that we saw tonight. Lord, thank you for all of your many blessings to us. We rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. And Father, we pray for your blessing now upon the message. May it touch our hearts. May it move us and stir us. And Lord, I pray that your word will do what it needs to do, and that we will allow your word to do what it needs to do in our hearts. And Father, help us to lay aside everything else and just concentrate upon this this question that the Lord asked. May we see the reasoning behind it. May we understand. And Lord, I pray that you will just do a real work in our church tonight. Bless our church family together, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I have a sermon that I've preached from this pulpit several years ago on the first part of this chapter on the subject of prayer. And in that message, I basically challenged you in the first verse where it says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then I used the parable to illustrate how we ought to pray, and that the Lord hears our prayers. Sometimes God's answer is yes, sometimes God's answer is no, and sometimes God's answer is wait. But God hears us when we pray. And that was the point that I made in that message. Now, in this parable, this woman is constantly nagging this judge to help her, and she just won't quit. She won't let up. She won't, every chance she gets, every opportunity she sees, she says something to this judge and begs him to help her. And after a little while, he realizes that he's going to have to help her, or she's going to harass him to death. And so he steps in and he avenges her of her adversary. Now his thinking is, if I don't do something, she's going to wear me out. And so he does something. You ever have anybody wear you out? I mean, they just won't let up. They just keep on. They just keep on. Well, that's the way he's thinking. This woman is relentless. She is nonstop. And I've got to help her, or she's never going to leave me alone. Now, the point that the Lord makes here in verse 7 is that the Lord knows the situation that his people are in. He knows the trials, and he knows how the world hates the church, and how the church is despised, and he knows how that through the centuries the people of God have been mistreated and been misunderstood and been mocked and maligned. And the Lord's point is that one of these days, God plans to come back to this earth. The Lord Jesus plans to come back to this earth. And when he does, he's going to put liberals and modernists and communists and Islamists and all the rest of the ists in their place. And I remind you that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God's word said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And so the Lord's point is in this parable is to hear all these people who are praying in persecution and then in troubled conditions, and they're hated and they're despised, and they're praying for the Lord to avenge them of their enemies. And the Lord's point is, you just hang in there. The Lord will repay. That day of judgment, that day of vengeance is indeed coming. Now, speaking of that day, when the Lord returns to line everything up and put everything back where it should be, the Lord Jesus, almost like he is in his mind looking down the road, almost like he knows how it's going to be in the world when he returns to this earth, the Lord Jesus asked a rhetorical question. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, I think that's a legitimate question. I really do. I think that's a legitimate question. I think that's a fair question, because the truth is, as you look around this world today, there's not a lot of faith in Christ to be seen. I don't know if you realize this or not, dear friend, but there are a little over 6 billion people on this planet. And well over 4 billion of the 6 have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've never seen a Bible. They've never been to a church service like this where they could hear the Word of God preached. 4 billion people on this planet. And so the Lord knew his enemy, the devil. He knew what the devil was going to do to the faith. He knew what the devil was going to do to the truth. And it's almost like he was standing there talking about how one of these days he's going to come back and he's going to bring vengeance when he comes. The first time he came as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The second time he comes, he's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The first time he came, it was in grace. The next time he comes, it will be in wrath. And when he comes, his vengeance will be satisfied. And it's almost like he's standing there, and while he's thinking about this, he's realizing that it's at least a couple thousand years down the road. He knows when it is. I don't know. You don't know. But he knows when he's coming back. And it is almost like he could stand there when he's given this parable, and it's almost like he's projecting in his mind's eye that day when he comes back. And he realizes that the mess that this world's going to be in. And so he asks this rhetorical question: when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You say, well, Pastor, we're in church tonight. There's faith here. Amen. There certainly is. So the answer to the question is, yes, there will be some. The Lord has always had his remnant. You remember when Elijah told the Lord, "Lord, I am the only one." And God laughed and said, "No way, Elijah. I got a couple of thousand over here you don't even know anything about." God has always had a remnant, always. There's always been those who have believed. And so I think that the answer to the question is, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Yes, he will. He will. There will be those who will hear and those who will believe. But folks, you have got to realize that the majority of this of the world's population has no knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have been sold false religion. They have been sold all the cults and isms of the world. They have been sold a bill of goods from the devil, and they want nothing to do with this book that we call the Bible. Now, that's the world. What about the church? What about the church? I mean, what kind of condition is the church that is supposed to be centered and focused around the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible? What kind of condition is the Lord going to find His church in when He returns? Well, I think it's pretty obvious that it's not a very good condition should the Lord come back tonight. Now, I'd like to see revival sweep and across this land, and I'd like to see our churches full again, and I'd like to see us back to the Bible and back to good music and back to good standards. I'd like to see that. I really would. But unless revival takes place, folks, when the Lord comes back, the church is not in very good condition. I mean, when you lay the Bible down as a measuring stick to the church of Jesus Christ, you see that the church is in pretty bad shape today across this land. And I think the Lord knew this would be the condition of His church when He came back to the earth to seek vengeance. And that's why He asked the question, if the Lord returned today, would He find faith upon the earth? Well, I think He would. I know that He would find it here. I mean, we got a good crowd in here tonight, and thank God for it. You didn't come to church because of me. You didn't come to church because of Pastor Stainer or because of Pastor Camperson. No, you came to church tonight because you love the Lord. And so would He find faith if he should come back tonight? I believe He would. I know the overwhelming a majority of the people sitting in this room tonight, if not the whole majority, have faith in the Lord. But folks, listen, you got to understand, and I know you don't like to hear this, but it's the truth. There is a large number of professing Christians who are just that, professing Christians. We have witnessed in our generation a great moving away from the truth of the Word of God. Can I prove that to you? I don't need to preach on it. I just need to mention it. Just using a little common sense, you ought to be able to see this. I mean, how do you read this Bible and then believe it's all right to have rock and roll music on your church platform? How do you read this Bible and then come to the conclusion that it's okay to ordain women to preach? How do you read this Bible and then come to the conclusion that homosexuality is okay? How do you read this Bible and then think it is God's will for you to, as the pastor of a church, to turn your church into a bingo parlor or a karaoke bar or a dance hall? How do you do that? And yet that's exactly what is happening all over this country. How do you do that? I mean, folks, listen, I think, and I may be old-fashioned, I may be an old fuddy-dud, but let me tell you something. As I read this Bible, I think the church ought to be a place where the Word of God is preached every time you open the doors. I just believe that. I think truth ought to be proclaimed from the pulpit of every church. I think soul winning should be on the front burner. I think that we ought to be more concerned with knowing God than knowing ourselves. I think that we ought to be more concerned about knowing the truth than knowing situation ethics. And so when the Lord returns, will He find faith on the earth? And as I thought about that this week, it just came to my mind how much we need revival in our churches across this land. Oh, that we would see that. I mean, folks, listen, we need a revival in the church, the open door. Thank God for all of you that are here tonight. But you know, there's a whole lot more that ought to be here that are not here. I mean, thank God for what God has blessed us with. We have a great church, but dear friend, we need to enter 2009 with a spirit of revival burning in our hearts. And so I want to speak tonight for a little bit on the need for revival in our church. Let me just point out two things, and then we'll serve communion. First of all, I want you to realize that, and now think about this, here's the Lord, He's looking down the road, and He's seeing that one of these days He's coming back, and when He does, all the prayers of the saints from through the centuries will be answered, and God will get vengeance upon the enemies of the Lord. And so I want you to think about that. When the Lord comes back, evidently it's going to be some pretty dark days, don't you think? I mean, evidently it's going to be some spiritually dark times when the Lord comes back. And so that got me to thinking about it. And you know, God always revived His work when there was the greatest of need. You go back through history, you go back through the Old Testament, you go back into church history, and you will find that to be true. God always revived His work when there was the greatest need. All throughout the Old Testament, whenever Israel wandered away from God, when the light was just barely a flicker, God was ready to send judgment. It was then that God would send a prophet, and that prophet would march through the land and proclaim the truth of God, and God would then use that prophet and bring conviction. The people would repent, revival would break out, and they would turn back to God. But it was always in the darkest of hours before that happened. Is there not a saying that we all know that it's always darkest before the dawn? Always darkest before the dawn. And folks, I think all of you will agree with me that we are living in some of the darkest days that this world has ever known. But now, wait a minute. I don't want you to think for a minute that I'm not optimistic about the future. You're looking at somebody who is very optimistic about the future, because I know who holds the future. You're looking at somebody that believes what the Bible says about the future, and I believe that the Lord is coming back. I'm as sure of the prospects for the future as I am of anything in this world. We got our property tax assessment today. And you probably got your, or not today, yesterday, and or maybe Friday. I don't know when it came in. I really don't care. But it came in, and we were talking about it tonight on the way, and I was just thinking, you know, driving over here, one of these days they can have the place. I mean, they can just have it all. I don't care. I'm going to be living in a mansion. I'm going to be walking on streets of gold. So if they want it, come and get it. That's all. I mean, you know, this world is not our home, folks. This world is not our home. And the darkness doesn't alarm me, because I know that it is always darkest before the dawn. And so when you look around and you see this world so far away from God and far away from truth and justice and right, it just shows me that God is about ready to enter into the stream of humanity once again and put His footprint upon this world. Amen. He's coming back. Now, you have to admit that the world's been getting darker and darker and darker by the minute. Hold your place here and go over to 2 Timothy just for a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 1, please. He said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, I want you to know the perilous times have come. Because I'm going to read you what Paul said would be the characteristics of the perilous times. And I want you to think about these as I read them. We're here. All right, look at verse 2. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Ta-da! We're here. "Covetous." I'm just letting them sink in after I read them. All right, look at the next one. "Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Hello? Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. Boy. Truce breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. That means they have no control over themselves. They just can't, you know, why'd you do that? Oh, I just couldn't help it. Wasn't my fault. Look at the next one. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good. I never thought I'd live to see the day that I would be criticized for believing that the King James Bible is the Word of God. A friend of mine texted me about 2 weeks ago and said, go to, and he told me the website, fundamentalistforum.something. And so I closed out what I was doing on the computer and typed it in there. And here's a guy ripping me up on the internet because I believe that the King James Bible is the inspired, preserved Word of God. What in the world is wrong with us? More traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they that creep in the houses. You know what these people are? They're creeps. They're creeps. We're just out in the neighborhood talking to folks about young people. You're a creep's what you are. Go on. I want to talk to you about the kingdom. You're a creep. Get out of here. Are you listening? Now, don't get mad at me. Again. I'm just reading you what it says. You say, well, that's not what it says. It is what it says. It is what it says. How else are you going to interpret it? Now, folks, look at me. I'm going to go off on a tangent. We never will get communion. Look at me. He is not describing the world here. The world's always been like this. He's describing the church in the last days. He's describing the church in the last days. And so, no wonder he could look down the road and see what the church would be. He's God. And so, naturally, he would ask the question, when the Son of Man comes to bring vengeance at the return, not the rapture, the return, 7 years after the rapture. When the Lord comes to bring vengeance to avenge the people of God, he knew what kind of condition we'd be in. And he said, am I going to find faith on the earth? Am I going to find faith? Folks, I'm here tonight to tell you, we need revival. I mean, the church of Jesus Christ needs revival. The world's always been like this. And he has nailed us, hadn't he? I mean, he has nailed the church today. Too much in love with self that we don't have time for God or the things of God. That's the church today. Been missing your church? Well, we've been too busy. What? You've been too busy. My friends, if you're too busy to come to church, you're too busy. You need to give something up. And it ain't church. That's hillbilly for don't quit coming to church. I mean, you know, think about it. He nailed us here. Paul just nailed us. I mean, too covetous to tithe, too proud to humble ourselves at the altar. The first ones to point a finger, too worldly to be humble. We look down our noses at someone who dares to do right, and we have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. I mean, my goodness, he has just put a tag on our society today. We bow to God for an hour on Sunday morning and bow to Baal the rest of the week. Let me tell you something. The curse of our age is that we want two altars. One for God on Sunday morning for an hour. Except for you folks. You come back on Sunday night. And God bless you for that. God's going to bless you for that. God's going to reward you for that. you love the Lord. You're here for the right reason. God's going to bless you for that. And many of you come back on Wednesday night. God bless you for that. I'm telling you, we're having a time on Wednesday night. You are missing it if you aren't here. We are having a time in the book of Daniel. Now, I didn't get finished Wednesday night, and all you folks, you've been studying ahead, and you're coming up and saying, Pastor, I know. Would you wait till Wednesday? All right? We're having a blast. But you see, people, we've been missing you in church. Where you been? And we come up with all these excuses as to why we're not coming to church. Folks, how Paul said? He said, you cannot drink from two cups. He said, you cannot drink from the cup of devils and from the cup of the Lord. Elijah said on Mount Carmel, how long halt ye between two opinions? He said, if God be God, then serve God. If Baal be God, then serve Baal. Hey, folks, listen, if Baal be God, if the God of the world be God, then serve Baal. But you know he's not. You know that God is God. And folks, it's in the midst of all this darkness that I say to you, we need revival. Let me show you one more passage of Scripture, and then I'll close. Go over to Philippians chapter 2 for just a minute. Philippians chapter 2. Let me read this to you, and I'll close. We'll have communion. Look at chapter 2, verse 19. Verse 19. Paul is writing to this church. Philippi was in northern Greece. And Paul wrote this letter while he was in the Roman prison. And it was a church that was born at the midnight hour. You remember that in Acts chapter 16? And at midnight, they sang praises to the Lord. They lifted up their voices. All right, look please at verse 19. Paul said, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, that's Timothy, shortly unto you, that I also may know of your good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Folks, that was 2,000 years ago. Paul wrote this 2,000 years ago and said, I'm going to send a preacher to you. I'm going to send somebody to you to help you. His name's Timothy. And he said, I have nobody like-minded that I can send except for him, because everybody else, they just out for themselves. And we have forgotten that this is not about us. This is about our Savior. And boy, if we'll just keep that in mind, I think that we'll be in a position where the Lord could send us revival. Brethren, if we're seeking the things of the Lord, we're going to do the right thing. If we're seeking the things of the Lord, we're going to be in church. If we have the Lord first in our lives, we're going to be here on Sunday morning, and we're going to be here on Sunday night. We're not going to come one Sunday, miss four, come back one and a half, and then miss six. No, we're going to be consistent in our service for the Lord. We'll be growing in grace. We'll be maturing. We'll be in a place where we're seeking to serve and to use our gifts. And a real Holy Spirit, God-given revival would get us to this place. I think about those dark days at the close of the New Testament when Habakkuk was preaching and he tried to get Israel to see the Lord and to realize that they needed God back in their lives. And he cried out to God in prayer and said, oh Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Man, I'd like to see God revive this work. You know, I've never seen a revival that I know of. I've seen some things that I thought maybe at the time were revival, but I don't. As I read the Bible and read back through church history, looking back on them now, I'm not sure that they were real revival. Not lasting anyway. I've seen God do some amazing things through the years. I'd like one time before the Lord returns just to see revival sweep across the church that I pastor. Man, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that. You know why I'd like to see that? Because if we saw that we would see sinners falling on their faces and repenting of their sin. If we saw that, we would see folks getting baptized and joining the church and getting busy, growing and learning. If we saw that, if we saw real revival, the focus would not be on us. The focus would be on Him. This stuff that people are saying is revival. Folks, let me tell you something. That revival does not result in us just getting tingly. Revival does not result in gold dust falling out of the ceiling. Revival does not result in you falling on the floor and uncontrolled laughter. Revival does not result from you getting on all fours and barking like a dog. Those are not signs of revival. Signs of revival is a brokenness. It's a brokenness. It is a humbling of spirit. It is a, Lord, let me get out of the way. And let's have You right here in the center. That's revival. Wouldn't you like to see that? Jesus asked, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? Well, folks, I want Him to find faith in my heart. I want Him to find faith in the church, the open door, when He returns. And we as a church can have revival. We can. But it must begin with the individual. It must begin in your heart.